Hello and welcome back to the Skyfall F1 podcast. My name's Aiden and thank you for listening in to the Japanese Grand Prix recap today. And well, as Oscar Piastri so eloquently put it in the post-race cooldown room, that's it. That's all the highlights of that race. Really nothing happened this weekend, an absolute snooze fest for a race in Suzuka, a track that is so used to bringing us great races over the years. It was so weird to see just absolutely nothing. We had, what, three overtakes on track? One in the first lap, and then maybe two more later thanks to some lockups? It was strange to see such a legendary track give us such terrible racing. Also, can I just note that this weekend felt super hard to keep up with? I think these late races are really causing my sleep schedule to catch up with me. I mean, it's just so difficult staying up as late in the morning as I'm having to. I was up until 3 in the morning last night watching this race. Fortunately, we're done with that for a bit, given Bahrain and Saudi Arabia are both right in the afternoon for me here on the eastern coast of the United States, so won't be too bad. I'll actually be wide awake for these, so hopefully that starts to get better and I'll be able to give you guys some more in-depth analysis going into the next weekends. Before I get into the race recap itself, I want to cover some drama that happened before the weekend that I haven't gotten a chance to cover, and that is Yuki Tsunoda replacing Liam Lawson just two races into the season. So, this move to me just makes sense on zero levels. First off, two races is an absolutely ludicrous amount of time to make conclusions on a driver. I mean, heck, we thought Pierre Gasly's half a season in 2019 was short of the time. Now we're seeing a driver have two races in a car and be deemed not good enough to drive that car for the future? That just doesn't make any sense to me. Lawson was considered a better long-term prospect by Red Bull management going into the season, but then was given zero chances to adapt and develop in the car. And also, if Lawson's leash was going to be that short, why wasn't Yuki in the car to begin with? Why didn't you just start with Lawson in Racing Bulls, give him time to develop, and put Yuki in the car even if you didn't trust him, just so you could put somebody semi-competitive alongside Max? I just don't get this move at all. With that out of the way, it's time to get into free practice. So long runs in FP2 to show pace were interrupted by four red flags, so we really didn't get any pace simulations, which meant that the team hierarchy going into the weekend is a pretty large question mark, honestly. It made for a pretty exciting Saturday, as we really didn't know who was going to be fastest outside of, well, McLaren. Also, Jack Doohan crashed in FP2. I was listening on to the Sky Sports commentary in FP1, and they noted that DRS had to be manually turned off going into Turn 1. Flap is normally closed by braking at the end of the straight, but Turn 1 at Suzuka is flat out, but only with the flap closed. So you have to manually close the flap so that you can take the turn flat out, otherwise you're going to do exactly what Doohan ended up doing and just put it into the barrier at full speed. Apparently Doohan missed that memo, which may or may not have been his fault. Obviously, it's a rookie mistake. You know, everybody else around you is turning their DRS off going into this corner, except for you. Maybe you should fall in line with the people who have years more experience in the sport, but I guess he just didn't really care about that. However, I will note that Doohan said that Alpine simulators indicated that Turn 1 could be taken with DRS active, which is just another example of Alpine's dysfunction at the start of the season. I was so high on the team going into the year. They were projected to finish 6th in the constructors, and now they've turned into this. It's just so painful to watch. At the end of the day, we really saw McLaren emerge at the front of the field yet again, seeming like the team to beat above everybody, but we didn't really know what was going to be happening behind them. As it turned out, something was going to be happening in front of them as well, as Max Verstappen randomly grabbed pole in qualifying with an insane lap in Q3. He was 3.5 tenths off of Norris in Q2, and as he said, his Q3 lap was about as on the edge as you can get. He himself claimed he thought he was going to crash several times over the course of the lap, which is just, it's telling you how much he's having to push, but also how much he's willing to push to go that extra mile and go get pole position when his car has no business being there. Unfortunately for Red Bull, while his teammate was grabbing pole position, Tsunoda was out in Q2 in his Red Bull debut at his home race. He was outqualified by both Racing Bulls, with Isaac Hadjar one position ahead of him in P14. I mean, at least he made it out of Q1 on the first try. Boston had three chances to do it and couldn't do it a single time, finishing 20th in both sessions in China. So, At least Yuki didn't look that bad. It could have been worse, in my opinion. Which I appreciate. I am slightly biased. Yuki's one of my favorite drivers. I think Lawson should have been given a chance, but I also think Yuki should be given the same chance. Some other noteworthy things from qualifying were Isaac Hadjar, again being the best of the rest, qualifying P7 for the second race in a row, this time outqualifying Lewis Hamilton, who just, I don't really know what to say about you anymore, Lewis. It's just painful to watch. Ollie Bearman was 8 positions up on Esteban Ocon, and Lance Stroll was P20 for Aston Martin. It's okay, everybody. Balance has been restored to F1. Stroll sucks again. We're all fine. It's good. We can just pretend those first two races didn't happen. He's back to sucking again. With that said, it's time to get onto the race now. This was possibly the cleanest start I've ever seen to a race in F1. The only change was to note it getting past Lawson after Liam went deep into the hairpin, which just... he looks so uncomfortable under braking in every race this season. I thought it was just the characteristics of the Red Bull that was screwing him over with that, but then we got into this race, and it was pretty clear, no, this is just Liam not feeling comfortable in the car. Maybe it's a setup thing, I'm not sure what's going on, but Liam just seems to be struggling with braking patterns in every car he's driving in. That's pretty much all the action we had all the way up to the pit phase, and some drivers, notably George Russell, who was stuck behind Charles Leclerc, wanted to go for an undercut. However, drivers on fresh rubber didn't seem to be going any quicker. So, says McLaren, let's pit Piastri and Norris back-to-back laps to try to get past Max Verstappen, who's still leading the race. They end up pitting Norris on the same lap that Verstappen comes in. A second slower stop from the Red Bull crew meant that Norris and Verstappen were wheel-to-wheel coming out of the pit lane, with Max slightly ahead, and Max straight-up forced Lando into the grass. Oh, wait, no. Lando just drove into the grass. You watch the replay from Max's point of view. He continues driving straight on through the pit exit. If he goes left, it's a penalty for crossing the line too early. So he stayed in the line, and Lando just drove off the track. I don't know what the plan was there. I don't know what the thought process was. Honestly, if anybody deserved a penalty here, it was McLaren for an almost unsafe release. They're fortunate to be at the end of the pit lane. And that's it for the race. The only other thing that was slightly notable was Piastri likely having more pace than Lando down the stretch, but McLaren said no driver swap, so we ended up with Max ahead of Lando, ahead of Oscar on the podium. So, three key takeaways, as always, from this race. First one, despite the poor result this weekend, I wholeheartedly believe Yuki Tsunoda is the answer at Red Bull for this season. Hear me out. Yuki at least seemed to have pace in practice. Liam, in his 4 practice sessions in a Red Bull car, never escaped the bottom 5. Yuki, in his first practice session with the senior team, was P6 and 0.107 off of Max. He clearly has some pace, and he continued to show that through each free practice session. He was always within a couple tenths of Max, and in Q1, he was still right there with Max. He just fell apart, unfortunately, in Q2, which saw him knocked out early. I believe he had pace for points, and he showed it in the practice sessions that he had pace for points. But the dirtier around Suzuka hindered his overtaking chances just as much as they hindered everybody else's. So I don't think we can really take too much from this race result for Yuki. I believe he's better than what we saw yesterday / today, depending on where you are in the world. I think he's going to be fine in that car, and I think we're going to see in the coming weekends that he's going to do pretty darn well. Second takeaway, Oscar Piastri is now my championship favorite. Oscar likely had the pace to win in Australia, but was told to back off of Lando. He won the race in China, and then was consistently held up by Lando's dirty air in Japan when he might have had more pace than anybody else on the track. He has shown significantly better racecraft than Lando. Obviously, we look at the elite overtakes last year in Monza to take the lead, and in Baku to take the lead, and then in Melbourne this year goes all the way around the outside of Lewis Hamilton in Melbourne at a corner where he had no business getting past. Just pure bravery in wet conditions. So he's got that going for him. And also, Lando just has not matured in the way that he needs to. Pit exit encounter yesterday was a pitiful display of desperation from Lando. He had no reason to keep going there. He wasn't wheel-to-wheel with Max, truly. He was slightly behind. When you were slightly behind in the pit lane, it is your responsibility to yield to the driver, fall behind,
and move on with the race. That one little maneuver likely cost him any chance of getting close to Max, because not only did he fall off the back of him because he was driving through the grass, but he also got grass on his tires, which hindered his pace for a couple laps. So there was just this one moment of desperation cost him so much, and you can't make those kind of decisions if you're going to go fight for a championship. Oscar has shown that kind of maturity already in several races over the course of his career, and even if he doesn't have the raw pace that Lando has, he's close enough in that regard that I think he's going to go win the championship. Last key takeaway today is that Ferrari should focus on 2026. And I know that may hurt to hear a little bit, but let me explain my reasoning. First off, the pace that everyone was touting in preseason testing hasn't appeared a single time this year. I mean, Ferrari have seen miles off the pace in every single race so far. They've been consistently outperformed not only by McLaren, but also by Red Bull and Mercedes, who, props to them, they've been very consistent through the first three races. Kimi Antonelli even became the youngest driver to lead racing laps in Japan yesterday. And for Ferrari, all the flaws that hindered them in 2024 are still there. I don't want to go too in-depth into this today, because, shameless plug here, I'm planning on releasing an article on my website covering all of the things that have hindered Ferrari over the years of their championship drought. I plan on releasing this article on my website. You can find the link to the website in my bio on Instagram, in the link tree, or in the information section on Apple Music. So I will be releasing an Instagram post when this article is out. Please go check it out. I love what I do here on the podcast, and I really do love broadcast journalism, but I think writing at the end of the day is my true passion. So please support my writing just as much as you all support me in my endeavors with podcast here. I thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for listening along with me as I yap about Formula One. I will see you guys next time.